We've been looking at some metaphors or pictures that would help describe some important truths about the local church. Do you like the local church? Okay, all right. Ooh, that was pretty weak. Do you like the local church? All right, okay. Well, hopefully that's indicative of liking New Life Baptist, but I trust that you're passionate about the church. The church that Christ is in the business of building. And when Christ uses the word church, what's he referring to? People. People. What? Not that? Not that? No. He's referring to people. So look around you and I want you to see the church. Look around you and see the church. Okay? All right? It's the people. It's not the building here, but it's the people. However, today we're going to look at the building illustration to show some truths about what the church, the body of believers, is all about. Last week we looked at the metaphor of the bride of Christ. We looked at Ephesians chapter 5 and we looked at that and we saw that that was a template. The picture there of Christ being the bridegroom and the church being the bride, and what that looked like, and the intimacy between Christ and the church, the love that Christ had for the church. Some people say, I love Christ, but I don't like the church. That means that you like the bridegroom, but you don't want anything to do with the bride. And the bride is the prettiest one of the bunch. So we ought to love the bride that Christ has loved and sacrificed himself for. Also, we looked at the matter of the fact that the picture of Christ being the bridegroom and the church being the bride was a wonderful model for how husbands ought to love their wives, how husbands ought to treat their wives. I had a lot of women come up to me after the church service and say, go for it, way to go. I'm glad that you really told my husband off. No, it was really funny this week to interact with you and say, you were so thankful for the message that was shared. I'll get you ladies back another day. But that was kind of fun to see that interaction. But today, as we look at the matter of the church, a building being built, there are many illustrations throughout the New Testament, especially in the passages of Ephesians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 3, and 1 Peter 2. And we're going to look at those in just a moment. But I want to just sort of set the stage for what we're going to be looking at. The construction metaphor is used throughout the New Testament. It talks about building my church. Christ said that, I will build my church. He referred to a holy temple, the habitation of God, God's own house, a spiritual house. Especially in one of the letters, Ephesians, Paul wrote a letter to the Ephesian believers that were in the church in the city of Ephesus. It's kind of a mouthful, but Ephesians, they lived in the city of Ephesus, which is now modern-day Western Turkey. And Ephesus was the crossroads of the Roman Empire. Many land and sea routes crossed paths there in that city. It became very important politically, commercially, and religiously. And it all came and centered there in that particular city. Its religious importance was seen there with a huge structure, the Temple of Diana, the Roman goddess. It was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. So if you were traveling on a holiday, you'd want to go to that site to see the magnificent structure. I read some things about it. It was really kind of like one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It was just phenomenal to see. Among many things, the humongous structure of it was the two rows of 127 pillars, 60 feet high. I mean, that's amazing. 60 feet high pillars, and over 100 of them, it must have been amazing to see. And so these Ephesian Christians knew what a large building was like. And Paul was trying to make a point with them, I think, as they were in that city, probably awed by this structure of the Temple of Diana. Christ was saying, you know what? You're part of a greater building than that. something that is more magnificent, something that is eternal. And He wanted them to see that they were a part of something far greater, far more permanent than what they could see with the physical eye in those buildings of the time. So the church is a temple not made with bricks and mortar, and steel and wood, but of people. And so that provides a wonderful illustration for us. As we think about the illustration of building, I want to just give you a simple kind of an illustration here today that helps me. I'm simple-minded, and so I want you to be able to see this today. As you think about it, I want to go to an illustration of building a home. You have to have a builder. That's a pretty good deal. If some of you have had that happen, you've gone and you found a builder, and he's built your home. And you start out with building a foundation, and then you build the structure on that foundation, and you need to use good materials. Some of you have renovated or refurbished or built out your basement, and you go to the Home Depot or Menards, or I got it, Menards especially, right? You go to Menards to find the materials that you want, and you pick it out, and sometimes you pick through a lot of junk. Sometimes you pick through and have less junk, but you want good materials that last. And so we had the joy back at the end of the 1990s of having a home built on this lot. We had to go find a builder. And so we found a builder, a Christian man, as it turned out, and it was a blessing to have a gentleman there who loved the Lord. And he had this property. We purchased the property and then bought the home, and then he started away at doing some stuff, of digging the hole, digging the foundation. And of course, I had some help from our little one. He's no longer little. But Michael was there watching over the process of building the foundation. I'll tell you, for a while I began to wonder, are we ever going to get done with that foundation? I mean, it's just taken a long, long time. But I realized that it's important to get the right foundation and to take time out here. And I'm thankful now, how many years later, Judy? 16? 16 years later. I always lose track of time. But some 16 years later now, this foundation is still holding up. The house hasn't toppled over, and there's no leaks in the basement. I'm very thankful that they spent all that time building the foundation and making sure that it was right. And then we started building onto the structure. And that was a fun process as well. It was first of all the dirt house to Michael. And then it became the stick house as we went up into the wood and the framing of it all. And it was fun to just watch that house being built. Don't you like watching construction? Al, don't you like watching construction? Al does a great job. He's a carpenter. And it's fun to watch him at work and to see people who know what they're doing. All of our boys were part of that process of overseeing to make sure that it got done right. But building a good foundation and building the building on that. It's just fun to look back over the years and see the growth of plants and trees and all that stuff. And of course, Jason was watching over the whole process from the inside, from a safe distance. But we had all of our boys involved in that process. But I want you to sort of take that and sort of think about it and think about the illustration of building so that we can better understand what the church is all about. Let's pause right there for a moment and let's go to several passages of Scripture so that we can get a better understanding about what the Word of God is showing here. But we ought to go to prayer first, all right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We are not left in the dark about what the church should be doing. We're not left in the dark about our place in the church and how we all have a role to play and how You're at work behind the scenes building Your church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so though we have opposition at times, and though we are frustrated with sometimes the slowness of the building process, we're thankful that, Lord, for the way You bring individuals to be a part of that church and to help that church grow and to help that church look beautiful and to help that church grow in holiness and grow in the foundation of Your Word with faithful teachers. And so, Father, we love Your church. We want to be about the business of growing Your church. And so as we look at these texts in Your Word, may we re-examine our own place, re-examine our own involvement in that church, and do our part. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll be looking at verses 9 through 17. There we see a number of words that are used to indicate this matter of building. In the Blue Bibles, it's page 808. The Apostle Paul is writing, and follow along as I read, again, 1 Corinthians 3, beginning with verse 9. And he's writing to the church there at Corinth, reminding the believers. He said, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. By the grace God has given me, I, Paul, laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on that. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God would destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are His temple." And then I want you to thumb over a little bit or find your place to Ephesians chapter 2. Just a couple books over. Ephesians chapter 2. Here we again see some more illustrations of the body of Christ, the church being compared to a building that's being built. Ephesians 2:19. "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens." That's referring to Christians. You're no longer on the outside. You're no longer strangers. Because of your faith in Jesus Christ, you were once enemies of God. You were outside, and God was working in particular with His own people, the Jewish nation of Israel. But now He has opened the door, and the Gentiles are now a part of His plan and His program and a part of the church, Jew and Gentile, serving together. You are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens of God's people and members of God's household. The idea, you are part of the family. You're no longer on the outside. You're a part of the family. Verse 19, "built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him," or in Christ, "the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit." And here we see that this building, which is the people, needs to be concerned about holiness within, holiness among the congregation, be concerned about a temple because the Spirit lives within us. One more passage. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. Almost at the very end of your Bible. 1 Peter, and here Peter writes some very significant truths as well. 1 Peter 2, beginning with verse 1. "Therefore, rid yourselves of malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." And here we go now, especially as you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in the Scriptures it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and a precious cornerstone," referring to the Messiah, Jesus Christ, "and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the most important stone, the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for." As we gather these texts together, I want you to look at now on the PowerPoint here, fill out your outlines, as we consider the builders. Who are the builders of this church? Well, number one, of course, the master builder is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in Matthew 16 says, "I will build my church." And no matter how the governments of our world may be against the church, no matter what countries may take away the Bibles of their individuals, the Lord is still in the business of building His church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He also uses the apostles and prophets. We find in Acts chapter 2 that there Peter, as he spoke on the day of Pentecost, the church began in a wonderful way, an incredible fashion. Thousands were saved. And these apostles were laying the foundation. Jesus Christ was the foundation. They were laying the foundation through the teaching of Christ and talking about the splendor of who He was. And number three, every believer. Every believer is a part of this building process. 1 Corinthians 3 talks about we need to be careful how we build as builders of the church. We'll look at some more at that in just a moment. Second, as we look at the building itself, we first of all, remember we looked at our house and we saw that they took a lot of time building the foundation. We read before us in these texts, especially in 1 Corinthians 3, that Jesus Christ is the foundation. He is the foundation stone. He is the cornerstone. And the foundation, Peter gave that profession, one wonderful profession of faith in Christ when he said, "You are the Christ," as he referring to Jesus Christ, "and upon you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the apostles were laying that foundation through their teaching. They were building the structure that now the local church has continued to build on since those early days where the foundation was laid. The cornerstone is Jesus Christ. He is not only the foundation, but He is the cornerstone. And Ephesians 2 says He's the chief cornerstone. I don't think many of us understand, in fact, I really didn't understand much about this matter of the cornerstone until I did some more reading. You hear about it, but with our house, it doesn't have a cornerstone. It has poured walls, all right? So there's no cornerstone. But the cornerstone was the most important stone of the building. They would take and place that stone in its place, and it was at the corner of the building where two walls met. It had to bear the weight of the whole structure that they were building, and it also set the walls. It set the preciseness of those walls. That cornerstone was very, very important. The cornerstone, let me just read this for you. The cornerstone was the major structural part of ancient buildings. It was the first stone to be laid. It had to be strong enough to support what was built on it, and it had to be precisely laid because every other part of the structure was oriented to it. The cornerstone was the support, the orienter, and the unifier of the entire building. I was reading some more about the cornerstone, and I read that Herod's temple that was built in Jerusalem was the cornerstone of Herod's temple was the size of a railroad car and weighed 570 tons. Now, how in the world did they get that there? That's amazing to think about. And that because of the structure, Herod's temple, that was built on top of that, it had to be that large to support it and get the walls set and in line. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He is the foundation as well. He is the one that the church is built on. He can handle it. And He is the one that sets its parameters and keeps it in line. And then the beautiful part of the building as well is the living stones that are referred to in 1 Peter 2. We are living stones, part of something much bigger than ourselves. Do you realize you're a living stone? That doesn't mean you're as dumb as a rock. No, that's not what we're talking about. But it's the idea that you're a part of a structure, a living stone. You are building a structure for God. And the way you live, the way you tell people about Jesus Christ helps in that matter of building the church, which again is people, sharing your faith, living out your life in holiness, and serving faithfully is all a part of that process. I was reading some more about the Old Testament temple and how they would fit the blocks and the stone. They didn't just come out there and start hammering away right by the wall. They would often, in a quarry, take care of measuring and chiseling away and cutting and rubbing and testing the surfaces. And then they brought those stones in and they were perfectly fitted together to make the structure happen. And it's amazing as you think about that, all that went into fashioning those rocks and the stones to make those structures. It's just an amazing thing. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but when you think about the fact that you're a living stone and God is chipping away and He's got a place just for you in the church. The structure that's going up, that's growing and that's being built, He's fitting you. Ephesians 2 says that, uses the very words, He's fitting you perfectly to help the church grow. But I couldn't help but think as I was thinking about that illustration, as God is doing His chipping away and rubbing and sanding and polishing, there's times when we say, well, I don't want any part of the local church. I don't want any part of God's building program. There's some gaping holes when you're not there. And God wants you to be a part. I think there's some other illustrations when we talk about the body of Christ. Great illustration of every part of the body being important. But I think that's also shown here that every stone is important to the structure of the building. And we don't want gaping holes and walls that are crumbling down because there's not enough support going up. Folks, you have an important role to play. And when we see that, we see how important the local church is and you, the part that you play. I've heard many people say, well, I don't need the church. I can worship God on my own. But yet, that's not God's plan. God doesn't plan to build it, building a whole structure with you over here by yourself. He plans on using all of believers in building this structure that can be a glory to our great God and to the cause of Christ. So if one of our brothers and sisters is absent, then there's a sense, a hole in the wall. The building won't fall, but there might be a draft. There might be a leak in the wall. And so we need to fill our roles as living stones. The building materials are important and pointed out in 1 Corinthians 3. In fact, turn back there to 1 Corinthians 3, and we'll close in this particular passage. 1 Corinthians 3. And there we find the building materials are mentioned. And it talks about in verse 10, by the grace of God that He's given to me, Paul writes, I've laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is now building on that foundation, which is us. But each one should be careful how he builds. Use materials that are going to last. And that's what I think he's talking about here. Do things for Christ that will last. When we do things out of selfish motivation, they're not going to last. They're like wood, hay, and stubble. And at the time when we go before the judgment seat of Christ, it's just going to go up in smoke. It's not going to amount to anything. But things that we have done in our service for God, using good materials, in other words, motivated by service for God out of a heart of love for Him, that's good material that will last for all eternity. And that will bring rewards someday as we stand before Him. Early on when our house had been built, we noticed some of the shingles on the roof started to curl. And we mentioned that to the builder, and we mentioned it to others, and they said, oh, it'll just lay down. Well, that went on for years and years, and we kept pointing it out. That looks a little like, it doesn't look right. It looks like something's wrong there. No, it'll lay down. Well, it never laid down. After 10 years, it didn't lay down, and so we had to take care of it. It was faulty material. And I can't help but think about that, too, as we think about building our lives on the Lord Jesus Christ and our walk with God, living in holiness and purity before Him. Some of us are accepting of just poor quality materials. We just kind of get by. We're not concerned about building a life and maturing and growing in our walk with God. And we need to be concerned. Be careful how you build, Paul writes. Point number four. There are some building wreckers. As you think about the physical structure of a building, if you build on a shaky foundation, the structure is not going to last as long. So I'm glad that they took time out to build a good foundation for our house. Second, workers not doing their work is a building wrecker. At every stage that our house was being built, it was neat to watch the teamwork. But everyone had to do their job. In fact, you know, it had to be timed just right. And that was kind of annoying at times. We had to wait on some people because they really weren't doing their job when they had promised they would. But it's really quite a process. Every person doing their job at the right time in order to move on to the next stage. Third, workers not working together. Can you imagine if they didn't have a plan and they all just did their own thing at their own wishes? What a chaotic thing that would be. In some of your homes, maybe you feel like maybe that's kind of what it appears to be. And so you've had to fix some of those things. Not pleasant. But there needs to be a working together. Everyone on the same page. Doing what the plans call for. Doing it to code. Being inspected. That's annoying, but all that has to take place. And then workers not using good material. All of these are building wreckers that cause problems down the way. And I couldn't help but think that every one of these points that are here really can be applied as it relates to a local church. Building on a shaky foundation. There are some churches that don't want to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ because He offends. And so we want to just preach all love, and we don't want to talk about sin. We don't want to talk about maturing and growing. We want to just accept people where they're at. Well, yes, we accept people where they're at, but we're not content to stay there. We want to help them to grow and advance for the cause of Christ. Workers not doing their work. It takes everyone doing their job to make a local church run better and really God's plan to go forward. Everyone needs to be doing their service for Him. Third, working together. There needs to be a unified working in a local church. Everyone on the same program. Everyone moving forward in the same direction. And all using good material. In other words, doing it for His glory and not for our own. I want to just close with this thought and then a poem. Be a builder and not a wrecker. Our job is to build up the church. Construction, not destruction. Yet there are so many who go from church to church, discouraging the ministry, speaking critically, stirring up dissension. Don't let that be your legacy. Don't let that be New Life Baptist's legacy. When we have conflict, we need to use biblical principles of peacemaking to resolve it. We need to do everything we can to build up the church, not to tear it down. This week, I got a nice note from someone who just said, you know what, I'm glad to be part of a local church where there's unity, where there's harmony, where people really love one another. And I tell you, I'm thankful to be a part of that too. I'm thankful that this morning I'm not having to address situations and issues between people because they're at odds with one another. How glad I am that we have a church that is united moving forward. And I close with this poem this morning. It's entitled, A Builder or a Wrecker? As I watch them tear an old church down, a gang of men in a busy town, with a ho-heave-ho and a lusty yell, they swung a beam and the sidewall fell. I asked the foreman, are these men skilled? Are they the men you'd hire if you wanted to build? He gave a laugh and said, no, indeed. To build takes skill. You can destroy with ease. I can easily wreck in a day or two what builders have taken years to do. And I thought to myself as I went my way, which of these roles have I played, have I tried to play? Am I a builder who works with care, building God's church with rule and square? Am I shaping people to a well-made plan, patiently doing the best I can? Or am I a wrecker who walks to town, content with the labor of tearing down? O Lord, let my life and my labors be that which we will build your church for eternity. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the illustration of the church. Thank you for your church and how it's pictured in so many ways. May we take it seriously. May we fall in love with the church because it's your plan, the means by which you desire to reach people for Christ and reach our world for Jesus. So, Lord, may we be committed to it. May we be a part of it. May we find our place as living stones, building a holy temple. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.